Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
There is something called the prosperity what? Anointing. So let's look into it. So there's some kind of friction in the church because of the concept of prosperity. And the reason is that we have highlighted one element of the prosperity concept called wealth, and we have magnified it to cover the rest of the concept of prosperity. So most times people think that whenever you mention the concept prosperity, all that comes into mind is material blessing. It is part of it, but that is not all to prosperity. So today we're going to look into it and be very careful on how to handle the concept prosperity. Now, because the concept of prosperity is not only defined by wealth, then what do we do when we want to deal with the concept of prosperity? This is what we have to do. We are not to generalize the concept prosperity, but we are to look at it in context, because the word prosperity is a general concept that covers social, spiritual, and physical well-being of an individual. So you can best explain prosperity in context, not in generalization. Are you with me? And that is why our third reading, which is still over there, gives us a clarity on the concept of prosperity when you want to tackle it. Can we look at it together as is there? Beloved, I pray for you that you may what? Prosper. Now, anytime the Bible said the word you, I want to help you to understand. Anytime the Bible used the word you, or in the epistles you hear the word used, God is referring to the spirit man. The spirit man is the you. That is why you see that there are a lot of things that the Bible said you are, but you don't see them in reality. Do you know why? It is in the spirit. It is not physical. You have to work it out. So he's referring to the spirit man, not the totality of you. So when he said, I wish above all things that you prosper, he was referring to the spirit man. So therefore, there is a prosperity of the spirit. That there's a prosperity that affects your heart, your spirit. Are you with me? You know, that's why the Bible said, poor in the heart, in the spirit, but we prosper. Are you with me? And that comes with the fruitfulness of the spirit. I'll go there. Now let's continue. In aught, all things, not in somewhat things. As long as you live on this earth, everything that you do, you must what? Prosper. It is God's expectation. Now I'm going to define prosperity to you so that you know what I'm emphasizing on all things. Prosperity is holistic. I'll get there. And be in what? In health. Now it has gone beyond any other spiritual thing. He's not talking about health. Health is about a physical matter. Is that not it? Health is what? A physical matter. Then look at the last one. Just as your heart. Soul, which is what? The soul realm. Also what? Prospers. So prosperity is a generalized concept. It goes into the spirit. It has a spirit expression. The spirit, are you following me? It has the soul expression and then the physical expression. So whenever we are talking about prosperity, we must put it in context. So if I want to talk about physical prosperity, I want to talk about prosperity that has to do with physical, tangible things, there are aspects like health I have to look at, material blessing. But when you're talking about soul, we are talking of peace of mind, it's prosperity. Hey, it's not everybody that has that too. Yes. Do you remember Jesus? God said to the people of Israel, pray for the peace of the land that I take you thereby, that in it you shall what? You shall prosper. Hallelujah. So the context that we have to take the message of prosperity comes from this very scripture. Prosper in all things. Now in this context, we can clearly see that prosperity is the complete definition, the life God wants every believer to have, which is the believer should thrive in all spiritual things, physical things, and the things of the soul, which has to do with the social, economical life. This is so perfectly captured in the definition or instruction God gave Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. That's why prosperity is the way. It's a life. It's a general concept. So you see, when God wanted to teach Joshua the concept of prosperity, let's look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. That will bring us back to our second reading. Remember, I was talking about the Job, what we read. Okay, this scripture is going to enforce that one. For then you shall do what? Make your way. Anytime you are reading the Bible, you see the word way. Way stands for what? Life. Abrabo. It's a way. Destination. So a path. Thou shalt make your way what? Prosperous. Then you will have what? Good success. So prosperity by definition is so generalized that it is the definition of the total life God wants the believer to live. It didn't end there. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 1 verse 3. Psalms chapter 1 verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not what wither, and whatever he does shall what prosper. Whatever. So it's not some things must what prosper. So a prosperity life is a holistic life where everything. So when John was praying, Apostle John was praying for the church, he said, I wish above all things that you prosper in all, not some. So there's no way that we can see you thriving spiritually, but physically you are struggling. No, that is not a complete, no, that is not it. There's an error. That is why material blessing is necessary. Because the complete life is that all things, including the material things. Are you with me now? You see? So, you see, don't ever associate spirituality to poverty. Let that thought be pulled down in the name of Jesus. See, Christians have been, see, the moment a Christian is making small money, then he begins to feel guilty. Because they say, you yourself a third year. Who told you? Be there. Me, I'm planning a vacation to Dubai. To the, what did you mention? Is it the Maldives or wherever? Where you said we will go last time? No, mention it again. Really. What did you mention? I forgot the name again. Yes. You don't want it to be there. We will go and enjoy. Because the Bible said that you will prosper in all. Thrive in all. It's just that we don't know. We have to understand how to handle it. I'll get there. So I want to deal with, that's why there's an anointing for it. For prosperity. So we have to help the believers. Else we are going to raise the, see, let me tell you, the devil has used this to play a guilty card on many Christians, that even if we are making, or God is blessing us, we are so guilty that we don't even want to receive, because we believe. See, the Bible said the love, he didn't say money, he said the love for money. If you begin to love it, me, I don't love money, I like money. The Bible didn't say the like, it said the love. I like money. Don't you like money? Let me see those who don't like money. Ah, so we all like money. Good. You have to like money. Like it. But don't love it. Don't make God out of it. But use it. You see, what you don't like, you don't. If you don't attract what you don't desire now. Then you see a believer. If I get the latest iPhone and it's within my means, I'll buy it. I'll use it. To the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. The most expensive spray, if you give it to me, I'll take it and bless God and use it. Now Jesus Christ, over will not this spray, no. The most expensive. Be there. And be following all these funny stories that prosperity gospel is the, no. People have gone extreme. That does not make it wrong. People have gone extreme. That does not make it wrong. The Bible said that all your heart, all thy ways, prosperity, all things. Can we continue? Therefore, it will be a dangerous thing to take one element of prosperity and magnify. Here is the case. So we're going to look at it. So prosperity must be spiritual, must be physical, and must also affect the soul. Are you with me? So you cannot only teach the believer spiritual prosperity whilst you take away the aspect of the physical prosperity. It's wrong. That's a wrong doctrine. Are you with me? Can we move on? Oh, church, are you with me? I told you this is a very interesting topic. Are you not interested? And today I'm going to teach you how the anointing affects prosperity. Some of you, today when you leave here, you have to go and then, amen. Hence, prosperity is spiritual, material, physical, and any other form of blessing that man can come into contact with. Don't take one element. The problem with the prosperity gospel is that many have dwelt on the world creation aspect, material blessing. Do you understand? And even that material blessing, they are teaching covetousness. That is what makes it an issue now. But in reality, it is a holistic thing. Are you with me? So that is it. So what is prosperity then? Now let's look at the definition of prosperity. What is prosperity? Now, I always prefer the Webster dictionary because the Webster is more or less or written by a Christian. It has more of the Christian tone. It's true. The Webster dictionary. Yeah. It has a very strong Christian tone. So you can use it a lot when you want to do some research or definitions of Christian concepts. Now, let's look at the definition. The Webster defines prosperity as the condition, listen, condition of being successful, not an event. I'm being careful with this word. State of being successful, not an event. You see why God told Joshua that your way will prosper and you have good success. Prosperity is the mandate of success. It's a condition that makes you successful. If it is not there, success can come today, tomorrow, failure. Yeah. Condition. Let me explain this. You know that in Ghana here, the condition have been designed such that it is very difficult to make 1 million Ghana cedis before age 40. Unless you cheat. Or unless there's divine intervention. True of us. Now, by the time you are done with school, it will take you not less than 6-7 years to get a meaningful job. Do I have witness here? And when you get that job, the strength of that job in terms of financial givings it gives you is that it can cater for accommodation, transportation. As for food, God will help you. Hallelujah. So you see the condition. The condition is not favorable to make you what? But when you go to some developed countries, if you are serious with your life, see, most of the people think that Ghanaians are not serious. I differ. No, I take exception to that. Because it's the same Ghanaians who go to other countries and they do so well. True of us. So it's not the people, it is the system, the condition. You see, the same people go to a different country and turn things around. So prosperity is a condition. If it is not there, it is not there. When it is there, it's a sure thing that you will be successful and thrive in many things, especially economic what? Well-being. Are you with me? Therefore, further definition or further explanation to this definition is that prosperity is a state of success, which is favorable or desirable outcome. It's a state of success. State. I want you to take note of the keywords I'm using. State. So there's a difference between being you have been successful in something and you are a state of success. That is what the book of Psalm chapter 1 verse 3 says that in everything the person does, it what? It prospers. It's a state. You will do it, you struggle. That person will come and do it. It is like those shakos in the class. Whilst everybody is struggling to solve a question, they come and then no matter what, they'll find a way to deal with the question. That is a revelation of prosperity. Are we all there? Are you with me? Good. So, or flourishing, especially in terms of wealth, health, and happiness. Therefore, let me put it in short for you. Prosperity is about thriving and not just about surviving. You see, there's a life of survivor and there's a life of what? Thriving. In Ghana here, we practice life of survivor. The survivor of what? The fittest. It's not prosperity. That's why we have to pray for the prosperity of this country. Now, when I was studying this, I understood some of the prophecies that it was giving, that Joe has been telling us to pray. Because if you look at the system, or Pastor Dennis, am I lying? If you look at the Ghanaian system, it is designed such that it is for survival. Especially if you are in Accra here. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you surviving? Let me see the survivors in Accra. Let's give a clap of offering unto the Lord for surviving. Yes. It's designed for survival, not for thriving. Because everything goes against you unless God comes in. That's why you need anointing. Because if you want to live alone on this system, the life you live will be a life of survival. Do you know a life of survival? Grow, work, marry, give birth, and die. You came to survive. Yes. You survived, didn't you? You didn't thrive. But I pray for you. Because of the anointing. The Bible says, the anointing, because of the anointing, every yoke shall be broken. God will fatten us so much that the yoke of the system that is designed to make us survive, not to thrive, we will break through in the name of Jesus. When you go to other countries, buying car is not an act of luxury. System is designed such a way that you can easily access cars. In Ghana here, when you buy a car, GRA will begin to look for you. It doesn't matter you bought Matic. Are you with me? Or very, if you also buy a very big car and your mom or father dies, it's a finished matter. There's no way you can explain that. You don't listen. We have already drawn conclusions. Yes, that is what? Blood money. Somebody posted on Facebook, if you go to the hospital and you donate blood and they give you money, what do we call that money? I leave that one for you to answer. Yeah, I don't know the answer. Somebody said a legal blood money. I said, you are smart. You qualified it. Adjective. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, this is the definition of prosperity. In short, it's about thriving and not surviving. Whether it is financial, emotional, social, spiritual, it is not the matter of what? Surviving. So if your spiritual life is always about repentance and dead or from dead works, then that is that, you're not prospering. Do you know that one? Do you know that one, what I'm talking about? Your spiritual life is always about repentance from dead works. Today, every day, the blood cleanse, mercy cleanse. No. You are surviving. You are not thriving. But we have to thrive. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? So now, let's move into some biblical balance on the message of prosperity. Okay? Let's look at some biblical balances on the message of prosperity. Then we move into the anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, biblically, prosperity is, in a broader sense, is often understood as flourishing in one's purpose, relationship with God, peace in the soul, and wealth. And we can read this scripture that is very, very important. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Continue verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in what? Every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is prosperity. Biblical prosperity. Fruitful in every good work, both spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever be in it, you have to be fruitful. That is the biblical balance of the concept prosperity. Are you with me? Are you following me? Therefore, true prosperity, true biblical prosperity, is about being rich towards God and not self. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Let's read that scripture. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not what? Rich towards God. Maybe they will not understand it. Let's go back so that they can get context. Let's go. Take me to... No, let's go to the beginning where he said, I'll eat, drink. Let's talk about the whole... Then you understand what I'm talking about. Have you found it? I think verse 18. Let's go there. Let's look at how God interprets this over here. So we're looking at biblical art, the balance of prosperity from the Bible. Hey, also verse 8, I can't find verse 18. Okay, we are waiting for you. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my bands. Or you still don't understand it. Shall I go back? Do you know this story? I'll pull down my bands and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and goods, abundance. Then look at what he said. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be what? Merry. Let's continue. Verse 20. And God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So then verse 21, he established this. Listen to this. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, let me explain this very concept in a simple sentence that I wrote here. Listen. Biblical prosperity is not about having more. Listen. But about having enough to do God's will joyfully, generously, and with purpose. Biblical prosperity. This is the difference between us and then the secular prosperity. It's not about hoarding. It's not about having more. Are you with me? But having enough to do God's will joyfully, generously, and with purpose. And this enough is relative and subjective. Because if God's will for me is to take care of 100 people, then I may have more than you is taking care of 10. So biblical prosperity is having enough to fulfill God's will joyfully and not generously. That is biblical art. That's you being rich towards God. So if you have more than enough, that is where the problem will come from. Because you will not find use for it. And that becomes a trap that James spoke about, that the rich are entrapped in their art, in their wealth. So if the capacity that God has given you, then you see that many churches, when they start, they are doing so well, that when they get so much and then they stop doing much, now they begin to use the money for unnecessary things. When a pastor buys a jet, it's not because he's showing that he has more, but that jet is to make it easy for him to fulfill the will of God. I don't need a four-wheel drive if the work I'm doing does not demand four-wheel drive. That kind of prosperity is a trap. You speak like that man. My soul, make merry. Because true biblical prosperity is what? Riches towards what? God. That word means that it is to serve the purpose and the interest of God. That's why God wants you to prosper. Generously, joyfully. Because if you are doing the work of God and there is some kind of lack and difficulty, you have a problem. So in the book of Luke chapter 22 verse 35, a very powerful incident over there. Let's read it. Are you following me now? So I'm bringing you to biblical prosperity. And he said to them, Luke 22 verse 35. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? What was the answer? So they said together, let's say what? Nothing. Do you remember the story here? When he sent them on mission, he said, take nothing with you. You see, the journey of doing the things of God start with nothing and also end with you lacking nothing. Do you understand what I said? The journey of God, your life with God, always starts with you having nothing and you end up without lacking nothing. That is true prosperity. So the moment you have more than the assignment upon you, you are heading into the path of a trap like this one. You will not bring it towards God. Because the excess, you may not find use for it. And the truth of the matter is that whenever God bless you, especially material blessing, wealth, it is for what? Use. Because anything that comes to you may serve three things. It can be a toy, a weapon, or what? A tool. So when it is in excess, that excess can be a toy for entertainment. And this entertainment, it's not that God doesn't want us to be merry, but it will not be to the pleasure or to the glory of God. Because the Bible says we should do all things towards the glory of what? Jesus. Are we all there now? So true prosperity, biblical prosperity, is you being rich towards God. That is not you having more, but you having enough to do the work or the will of God generously and what? Joyfully. To fulfill the purposes of God. That is why you have to have money. Imagine Apostle Paul is to be a global evangelist, and then you don't have what it takes to own your jet. You can't even buy a bicycle tire. How can you do this work joyfully? That's why God wants to prosper us. Are you with me? So don't let anybody make you feel like when money comes to you, No. We have the power to control unrighteous mammon. It doesn't control us. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page now? Can we move on? Okay. All right. So how does the prosperity anointing flows? So now I've defined prosperity to you. I've defined the frame or the understanding you should have concerning biblical prosperity. Having enough that you can fulfill the purposes and the will of God for your life. You see, some of us, we have seen what God wants to do with our life, and that requires a lot of millions of dollars. Hallelujah. The first time I heard the story that the weekly spending of, I don't know if it is true, but someone should help me confirm it, Benny Hinn, is around $2 million. I was shocked. I said, huh? I said, yes. I heard a story like that. When they're talking about the richest men in the richest men of God. Now you look at a place like the oil dome. Look at a place that someone like Dr. Polinieche has built. Let me ask you, how much do you think will be needed to manage that place a week? The church is rich, Joe. You see, sometimes when I listen to some of these secular artists and people and they claim that they have money, I laugh. You know why I laugh? They don't spend. Let them try to do just 20% of what Pastor Mensah Otabel is doing. They'll go bankrupt. Don't, I'm not even using Bishop Dark. That one, even 5%, they'll go bankrupt. Those of us who are involved in crusade, even our small one. We have a crusade coming up. I just finished the budget. I was reviewing the budget and I found out that we're going to need no less than $4,500. For just one campus crusade, that we are not going to even do much there. One particular year, we spent 200,000 Ghana cedis on just one crusade. Mangesim. Yeah. Are you following me? They don't spend. So their prosperity is having more. So is it? Are you following me? So don't have a skewed mind about wealth. Because you don't know the assignment God is giving you. Also, if God is asking you to set up a whole hospital because he wants a Christian hospital where the people who come there will be treated in the godly way through prayers, spiritual and physical one. I want to build something like what Mahama has done at Legon. Can 10,000 cities do that for you? Then we sit there and they tell us all these kind of funny stories and then as for we there. No. See, some of you should start thinking of how you can hijack this boat things. You can also create a system like that. When I start teaching on prosperity, your mind will change. I've already told God I will not pastor poor people. If you are poor, you enter this church, you will become rich. I'm not saying that I don't receive poor people. Oh, they are the ones that are my first target. And now they must turn into rich people. So if you are here, you have made up your mind that you'll not be rich. Today, when you go, don't come back. Because I don't pastor poor people. Yes. You can come poor, but by the grace of God. Because we know that there's so much to do that I cannot do it alone. So if you carry that poverty mentality and you sit here, you destroy the work. We can't flow. So I declare, wealth is your portion. I said, wealth is your portion. Hallelujah. So how does anointing flow? Let's look into the anointing. Are you being blessed? See, prosperity has always been an evidence of God's presence in the life of people. Now, if you take the Old Testament, for instance, the evidence of God's presence with them was material blessings, health, and wealth. So when God said, I'll bless you, Abraham, it was material blessing. Anytime you see the hand of God against his people, he takes away material blessings from them and wealth. And remember, that's also part of prosperity. So prosperity has always been an evidence that God is with his what? His people. God is always with his what? His people. Hallelujah. Now, when you come into the New Testament, the evidence of God being with us is spiritual prosperity, which is what? Called the spiritual blessings. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2, what the Bible says? Blessed be the Lord God our Father, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly what? Places. Now, spiritual blessings is not talking about a car in the spirit that will come physical. No. Spiritual blessings is talking about access to eternal things, the things of the spirit. That in the olden days, in the Old Testament, they had no access to. One of it is that the Spirit of God living in us is a spiritual blessing. One is the gift of the Spirit that is at work in us. The grace gift that has been unveiled in us. These are all spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly places. Spiritual blessings has no material connection to it, but they are able to attract material things. Are you following me? Are you following me? God. So, the New Testament prosperity is more of... See, this is where the balance is. The New Testament prosperity is more of spiritual blessings. And the physical blessings, which is material and wealth, is the effect, or let me say, the side effect of it. Now, let me show something. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Let's read something. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Now verse 3. Read. As his divine power. This is spiritual what? Blessing. What does he do? Has given to us all. Has given to us what? All things. You see it's mentioned here again. That pertain to what? Life and what? Godliness. So, spiritual blessing that we said that we are spiritually blessed does not deprive us of things pertaining to life. So, prosperity, even though in the Old Testament, it was more of material blessing. It was a focus on material blessing. When you come into the New Testament, even though the focus is on spiritual things, that spiritual things has a space for the manifestation of the physical things pertaining to life. So if indeed you are spiritually blessed, that means the Holy Spirit is living in you. One of the evidences is that we see material evidence. If it doesn't happen, it is on you. Because it is given. Don't let anybody cheat you out of what is yours. Me, I don't agree. Friends, as a result of the assignment God wants you to do, you must be an estate developer. You must own estates. If they don't believe it, is their matter. Because it is not you. It is the divine power, that assignment of God upon your life, attracting things pertaining to the life God wants you to live. So although prosperity in the New Testament is so emphasized on spiritual things, there is an
aspect of it manifestation that has pertaining to life. It's not only godliness. So you see that your life, your godliness can be affected when you don't have the down one that have pertaining to life. How many spiritual Christian sisters have lost their virginity because there was no life one?
If a brother in the church who is very just was rich and can help those sisters, would their godliness be affected? Be there. Your daughter will be the next victim. But I could say, God forbid. My daughter will not sell her body for because of. See, you have not been there. That's why I think that it is. Oh, me, I'll not do it. You when you get there, you have not sat down with some of them. They did it whilst they were crying, cursing themselves. But you see, the pressure at that time. People lost their virginity because of Nokia 3310. You will laugh. But those days, it was champion.
So, the spiritual blessing, which is the divine power, enables us to have all things pertaining to life and godliness. So, this is where the power of God as a manifestation will be seen, an anointing flowing.
Hallelujah.
So, now, let's look at this. God takes prosperity as a very serious matter. If you don't know, let me help you. Number one, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. There are two scriptures I'm going to give you to let you know that prosperity is a serious matter to God. And therefore, he releases his power and his presence to manifest it in the life of the believer. Now, let's look at something. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Now, look at God's thoughts and look at the way you also think. That's what the Bible said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. It is true. What is God's thought for you? Thought of peace and not of what? Evil. To give you what? Hope and not future. Give me King James and let me see. That future over there. Give me King James. What did the King James say? I think those peace and not of evil to give you an expected what? End. Prosperity, the plans of God for you, is a plan to prosper you, not evil. You are thinking that no, as for prosperity, me, God's no, it's part of it. Don't let anybody rob you of it. Prosperity. Let me tell you, there's nobody that God has called and has not promised the person prosperity. Check in scriptures. Even Jesus promised us. He said, for whatever you lose for my sake, you shall receive what? 100-fold on earth here. So if I lose 100 cities and I'm getting times 100, how much is that? 100 times 100 is what? Is that not 10,000? Is that not prosperity? Is that not increase? There's nobody God has called and has not promised the person prosperity. But we are here thinking a different one. God's thought is here. Your thought is also here. I'm serious. Do you know some people? See, when breakthrough is even coming to them, they are turning away. Because, no, I will go to hell. You are afraid of money. The last thing you'll be afraid of is money. If it is $1 billion. See, the fact is that you don't know what to use this for. That's why you're running away. Me, my agenda, 1 billion crowns. I'm going to talk. you think I'm kidding? You don't know the plans I have for the nation. There are some people, we have to buy them out of business so that we can preserve some kind of morals. So when somebody we get $1 million, ish, me, even 1 week, that money will finish. By the time we are done with crusade in Cote d'Ivoire, go to Togo and Burkina, $1 million. Yes. Now, if you want to build like 300 churches, church buildings, you are bringing me $200 million. Where would that money reach? You want to raise men of God and feed them, take care of them, build some kind of. I want. I had some idea last time I was studying. I said, why don't we have a trust fund that manages men of God? Portfolios. Well, I'm into finance, so I thought of it. I said, people are setting all this kind of portfolio management for this system. Why don't you have some for men of God? Number two, Psalm 35 verse 27. God takes prosperity serious. Psalm 35 verse 27. So the plans of God is unexpected end, unexpected future, prosperity. God has not, listen to what the Bible says. Let them shout for joy and be glad, for who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure. Do you hear that word? Who has what? Pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I never knew that one of God's pleasure is to see you prosper. How many of you have not been giving God pleasure in this life? Yes, if you are not, if you don't prosper, you have denied God pleasure. Do you know why? Because Revelation chapter 4 said that he has created us for his pleasure. And one of the pleasure God derives is that we prosper. Takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So if you are here and if you die poor, you have denied God one of his pleasure. You answer to it. Let me tell you today. If you die poor, if you don't prosper, I mean that if you don't align yourself to the will of God, that God is able to give you enough to fulfill all purposes he wants you to fulfill, you deny God that pleasure, he will ask you, because he created you for his pleasure. And one of it is that prosperity. So as I said, if it is that kind of hospital God wants you to build, and you build it, then God will say to you, yes, see my hospital. He will not say it is yours. He says, see my, he will call it his hospital, because he knows that what belongs to the son, he's a steward, he will give him to you. See my company in Ghana here, because his presence is there, his will is done over there. You are here, you're not thinking of doing things that will give God pleasure. All you are thinking of is just how to eat and drink, give birth. I forbid that for you in the name of Jesus. I said, if you think that you live a poor life, when you go, don't come back. Today, change your thinking. Last, let me tell you the story. Last, I think, it's your last 3 weeks. I was in a car with Pastor Denise and he said something. And the thing was so happy. He was talking about the latest model of a car he wants to buy. And asked me that, if I do a project and I just take 5% to buy it, is there anything wrong? I said, no. You deserve that pleasure. Because God will call it his car. When that car comes and we are doing ministry work, that car will be available. Can I go and ask Shatawale to give me his car to use it for ministry work? But I can go to Pastor Dennis and you will not have any problem. Even recently, when that he came to pick him. Sometimes you drive and drop me at Kaswa. He's supporting me. Can I ask somebody who have no understanding about the things of God to do that for me? That's why I said that sometimes God will give you jet, because it can fulfill the will of God. Can you see what Muhammad's brother is doing? Imagine it's a Christian owned that jet. How many pastors or missionaries or ministers who can be supported that way? May God make you one of them in the name of Jesus. Today I came to let you know that, Charlie, the money thing is good. Come on. Not love money. Like money. Like it. Yes. Because that gives God pleasure. God can use it. God can ask for it anytime and it will be available. May God prosper you. That God will take pleasure in your prosperity in the name of Jesus. You'll prosper. Hallelujah. Therefore, how does that manifest as an anointing? I'll wrap up soon. The streams of the anointing is the manifestation of the presence of God and the power. Is that not it? In a tangible manner that we can all relate to physically. How does it show when it comes to prosperity in the life of the individual? The anointing is an intangible asset, but it is realized as a tangible manifestation. When we preach and the anointing, this intangible asset of God, is released, you see that people begin to live out of godliness. When we teach, people get insight. When we minister or create an atmosphere, we see all those things. When we use it for the prophetic, are you following me? What it comes to prosperity, how do we see it? Two things. Number one, the manifestation of God's presence and power as an anointing in prosperity has two major dimensions. The first one is that it flows in the ability to create wealth. The first sign you will see a major stream of the anointing flowing through you as prosperity is that you begin to have the ability to create wealth. Now, let me explain this one. It's very important. This ability these abilities are divine ideas and revelation God gives to you in order to beat the systems of the world, mammon, and even natural order. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. Divine ideas. Listen, see, I'm going to explain to you. Divine ideas, they are not those ideas that respect the systems of the world. They beat it. They beat it to the core. It beat mammon, beat the world. And even natural cause, it beats it. When God, the anointing begins to manifest in prosperity, one of the things you see that the ideas that you receive for world creation, they beat every system. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. This is what he said. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. That power to get wealth is called divine ideas. That he may establish his covenant he has sworn to his fathers and to this day. You can never shake the mountain of commerce by only relying on the knowledge available in this physical realm. That Toli they have been telling you, I work hard, I used 2 CDs and I did this, is a lie. Those, the enemies from this physical realm knowledge, the book knowledge, whatever experience knowledge, only helps you to survive. It's a survival means. It's not for thriving. Nobody has tried on just book knowledge. I started selling CDs. And today, go and sell some. Yes. There's a mountain called the mountain of commerce. You can never take that mountain. You cannot be on top of that mountain without divine ideas. People are consulting demons and spirits for those kind of ideas. But I tell you, there is a possibility in this kingdom practice, as a result of the presence and power of God upon you, that God can release those ideas to you, that you will beat the mountain of commerce at ease. And you thrive. Let me tell you this truth. Hard work is good. Hard work is good.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Hard work is good. But wealth is a matter of being smart and having innovative ideas that are rare and are far from the common.
Yes.
Psalm 127. Let's read something. Let me show you something. Hard work is good. But wealth, creation of wealth, prosperity, it comes with smart, innovative ideas that are rare and it's not for the common. It's not for the common. Let's read something here about hard work. Unless the Lord builds, let's go to verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early. I'm going to show some economic principle here. Follow me. To sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. That is hard work. You wake up early, you sleep late. These are the people we call hard working people, true of us. So if you're in Accra here, you don't wake up at 4 and come back at 9. We don't see you that you are doing something hard. But do you know something? The moment you are eating bread of sorrows, that is survivor. What's something? For he gives his beloved sleep. Do you know what we call this? Residual income. When you sleep, your money is working for you. This is it. Yes, you think? I read the Bible with my open business eyes. That residual income is a principle from God. He gives you rest. Do you know what rest means? Something is working for you. Smarts. If you are going to make it in life, something must be working for you whilst you sleep. If all that you are to make is what your energy gives you, then you are not going to survive. You are not going to thrive. When you sleep, what is working for you? Ronaldo makes how much in a second? By the time you close from church, do you know the amount of money Ronaldo has made? I pray for you. Divine ideas. This is what they do. They make you sleep. He gives you what? Sleep. That is residual income. Income that comes whilst you are. Those things, it's not hard work. It's smart. So, it is something. See, this divine ideas, it is something that you know that others do not know and cannot assess unless they operate in the same realm you assessed it. Divine ideas, God's prosperity is not common for the common people. I'm going to give you three formula. Time is fast spent, but let me give you three formula. First formula, Jacob's world creation formula. Genesis chapter 31 verse 10 to 11. First formula, divine ideas. Genesis chapter 31 verse 10 to 11. That's the first branch of the manifestation of the anointing. See, when you are watered by God, as you have encounter with the Holy Spirit, there are ideas that pop up in your head. See, it is not so, sometimes it may be a simple idea, but nobody will realize that this idea is a wealth making idea. The brides, their father preached that one day we will all ascend and fly into heaven. Is that not it? And then that idea came into their mind. It means that there is something that cannot. To the airplane. Imagine what is the wealth of those bright family. Simple. Let's read. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. Somebody say dream. First formula. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. Formula number one, dream. When you have an encounter with God, one of the manifestations is that your dreams are gold. When God wanted to cheat the systems of the world, he passed it through dream for Jacob. Said, your uncle thinks he's smart. He's the great cheat. But I want to show him that me, I have to deal with it. The question is, how is your dream helping you? It's only Mbangu and Fufu. No. You have to start praying that you start having some dreams that will open treasures to you. Some of you will buy strategic lands. You don't know. You can be there and God will give you a dream. Buy this land. Nobody will believe that land will be a land of development. One day you find out that development goes there and then you are one of the richest places. Formula number two. Isaac's world creation formula. Genesis chapter 26 verse 12 to 14. We call it riding against the tide. See, it is not always that you have to follow. You must always find a way that God will open your eyes to see that there is a way to beat the system, that you should not follow everybody. What is this Isaac formula? You see, Isaac's formula is to find the odd thing. Always finding the odd thing that makes people. Isaac wanted to follow the father called Abraham. Go to Egypt, because when the father went to Egypt, he came with wealth. So when Isaac was also facing hardship, he wanted to go. God said, don't go. Stay here. And the place God asked him to stay was a land of drought. God said, sow over there. Principle number two. Yeah. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Do you hear the way? That what? What is one idea that God will give you that nobody has ever dared to do it? That's one of the things you have to start praying for. Also, we have to pray for an encounter that God will reveal something to us that nobody has even conceived it before. Nobody even thought of doing it. then we would by the divine idea that comes to us, we will invest and we will put it into there, and then it becomes a breakthrough. And he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Continue. The man began to what? Church, together. The man began to what? And continued to what? Until he became very what? If you always want to follow the normal things, you will never have this encounter. Some of you, you think that leaving Ghana, it's not everybody who leave Ghana. You must find your place. This is what I'm telling you. This is finding your place of establishment. Your father's blessing was connected to Egypt, but Isaac's own was connected to what? Gera. Location. Formula number two. It's not only dreams, it is also location. Where? See, God can give you. See, everybody will be. And this thing has been happening a lot in ministries. You see, God will leave Accra, because people think, oh, in Accra, you into ministry, you prosper. Somebody will go to the northern region. God said, go there. By the time you realize, boom. Look at Reverend Eastwood. Have you seen Reverend Eastwood? Yes. You are always scared to take the. No, if God is asking you to go, go. Prosperity is calling you. Third formula. Joseph's world creation. The biggest businessman I've ever seen in my life is Joseph. A businessman who is able to make sure that the entire country is being bought. He bought the entire country. Guy is so smart. So smart. Genesis chapter 47 verse 20. This is an anointing I'm praying for you. An anointing. This is manifestation of the anointing. When the anointing is so strong in your place of establishment, you find when you are there, you begin to prosper until you are very prosperous. It will hit you financially everywhere. Then Joseph bought all the land of what? Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe upon them, so that the land became what? This is service rendering anointing. Formula number three. There is an encounter God will give you, some of you, that you begin to render service, that at the end of the day, people will sell themselves even to you for that service. I said, it is coming on. Ah, Lord Jesus. You have to start believing God and praying for it. What creation ideas? Service rendering. What was the service? He was giving them grains that they will eat. Do you know that people will begin to take your product to the point that they can even are you following me? This is the power of yes, God can give you an idea. You see, a lot of people are doing fruit drinks. She is doing it. When you drink it, you want to go back for it. That is where wealth comes from. You must discover a service that you render that people will be coming for it till thy kingdom come. That one, when you sleep, money is coming back to you. I pray for you. So, idea generation, this idea, world creation ideas, they may manifest in service, in form of providing of services. They also manifest in like discovering your place, a place where God has planted you, where nobody will even dream of. Then you hit it. Then also, another one is to also cheat the system. Beat the system to it. As Jacob. Yeah. You beat the system. Smart. So whilst you there, you study. So these are people who study the system and say, okay. Then you have a vision. Then God will tell them this, that, and that. Then I pray for you that this will be your side of the blessing. Let's move in quickly. Now, the second one, which is very important. So the first manifestation of the prosperity anointing is what I've said. Idea for creation of wealth. They may come in forms of service. I've given you three formulas. Also, beating the system. We have to learn to beat this Ghana system. And they have designed a system that, see, you people begin to, now this guy, how is he able to? But you find a loophole God has revealed to you. Do you know it was a loophole? that Laban didn't know that if you do this and that, you can create this out of the same system and cheat the system. We will cheat this world system, eh? It will beg us. When they think they have changed the thing like this, you sleep and God said, do this. Then you get this. When they change it this way, you do this. You have to let, that is where the anointing is. Then they'll see that, no, this guy's blessing. So they'll come to you, ah, please, how are you able to do it? Tell them, follow me to the prayer room. Hallelujah. Second one, then we wrap up. Very powerful one. The second manifestation of the anointing for prosperity dimension is what we call favor before men. Now, this favor before men has two expressions. First one. Now, let me give you a scripture for that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. It is the blessings of the Lord that make a man not prosper without adding sorrow. Do you know what that thing is? Favor. Anything that does not bring sorrow is favor. That dimension of prosperity is favor. It's not only about ideas. This favor, it is into a favor before men. I'm going to show you two ways. The blessing of the Lord make one rich and he had no sorrow with it. Favor. Let me show you how it is done. Now, the first one is the favor that opens doors. The book of Esther chapter 2 verse 17. Now follow me very well. One of the signs of prosperity anointing is that doors opens unto you. Doors of opportunity. Strange doors. Madam, do you see that there's silver in your life? Can you see it now? That's prosperity. Favor. Esther. Now listen. The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she obtained grace and what? Favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her what? Queen! Instead of what? Vashti. Now let me tell you why this is very important. Listen to me very well. This world is full of competition, such that at every given instant, there is somebody who is equally better, good like you, and can do what you are equally doing like Vashti. Esther was not the only selected. She was not the only virgin in the provenance. She was not the only one beautiful. Competition is the thing of this system called earth or world. You are all qualified. Why should you be the one to have it? That is where the prosperity anointing comes in. It is the blessings of the Lord that make a man prosperous and add no sorrow. I pray for you. You see, doors will open to you. Then people don't know. Say, ah, but you and I, we have the same qualification. They'll look at you and say, we'll take you. Yeah, we'll take you. That's why you find out that governmental promotions, they are not only about certificates. People can kill you. You'll be there. Shit. It's spiritual. What will draw the difference between you and them is the anointing called the prosperity anointing that gives you favor above them. This anointing is also called the countenance of the Lord. Numbers chapter 6, the verse 24. The countenance of the Lord, the tree said, and there is something about the face of people. And I pray for me that anointing fall on you. Hey, when people look at you, they open the door. Ah. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's stuff from verse 24. I like it. Let's take it from verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Then the verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is the thing that separates you from the people you are qualified with. You cannot compete without assuming the spiritual dimension. That anointing is called the prosperity anointing. You want to take up strategic places. You want to be a president. You want to be the governor of Bank of Ghana. You want to head corporate institutions. and you think it is certificate, that is good. Get it. But you get there and find out that it is more than certificate. Look at you and say, get out. But when the countenance of the Lord is upon you, I pray for you. It's an anointing, manifestation. People will see you because you see the blessing of the Lord make the man prosper. When they see you, they can't shut the door. It's, oh, ye gate, oh, ye be lifted up, everlasting doors. He said, open because the King of glory is coming in. Who that King? I pray for you. That is the King that is backing you. So whenever you walk to a place, and it's because of the kingdom assignment, there are opportunities you need to assess that you can be able to have certain things that can help you fulfill the will of God. There you see that the King of glory will shout, oh, open ye gate and everlasting doors. The everlasting doors are doors that have been shut perpetually at people. Maybe in your family, they have shut the door at people and that they said you cannot go somewhere. Maybe you are working at a place for over the years. You are going to a place over the years and they don't want to promote you. I declare there is a blessing, there is a prosperity anointing, and that anointing is to open doors. And I declare that doors are open in the name of Jesus.
There's no need to fast and get usher to get to travel abroad. When it is, it will open. I always tell people, relax. If it is yours, it will come. It's not because it's
when countenance of the Lord.
I always remember Brian Mas a testimony. We prayed with him. He said, the security man at the council, U.S. Embassy, asked him that, are you a pastor? He said, this woman, you are the first person ever in his life seen that you have handled you for 5 minutes and has given you visa. Of the Lord, the countenance of the Lord. And God said, this time, who's going to stop you? Nobody. Let's move on. Time. Yeah. Hallelujah. The second one of this manifestation of this dimension of the anointing favor is this: it's the favor that attracts. Now let me tell you something here. If all that you have in your life or you ever make in your life is what you worked for personally, then you don't have favor in your life. Yes. If all that you have right now or all that you make in your life, you have to work for it, you lack favor. You will never prosper. You will not prosper in this world. There's an anointing that attracts. I said there's an anointing that does what? There are things that must come to you because there is a force of attraction upon you called favor that will compel men to bring their riches to you to fulfill God's mandate and purpose in life. Exodus chapter 15 verse 35 and 36. If all that you have in your life is that you have to work, labor for it, you lack favor, you will not prosper. There must be an anointing upon your head that attract, compel people to give to you for God's assignment. Read. That's why Jesus said, when I sent you, did you lack? Because there was favor. Exodus chapter 12. When Jesus sent them, he said, did you lack anything? No. They went empty-handed. Power of God at work upon it. It's a magnetic force that pulls the needed resources. See, there's a time that you don't need to buy a house. You don't need to use your money to build a house. Somebody will buy a house for you. Because of what is upon your head. Read. Now the children of Israel had done according to the words of Moses. And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. Continue. What happened? Verse 36. And the people had given the people, and the Lord has what? Given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. That's the plundered Egyptians. I pray for you. May you plunder in the name of Jesus. Come on. There's a favor for plunder. It's an anointing. It's called favor. Yes. It's called favor. Do they go back? If you're not seeing these things in your life, you have to go and pray. It's not because of the things that happened to the Egyptians. It's because of the favor. See, imagine that because of you, God killed my first son, and I still give you my gold and clothing. No. Yeah, baby. Yeah, Drew. I thought you knew so.
It's not because of that. Say, God give them favor. God. You. See? Every woman being is selfish and stingy. No one will walk to you and give to you his precious heart and money just like that. His things just like that. It takes spiritual influence to cause men to do such things to you. You are there saying, my uncle will not remember me. Remember you for what? And then my auntie there, he doesn't. Who told you that it happens that way? If you want to plunder, they need favor. You are struggling. You need a breakthrough. You need a job. I said today, go back. Say, Lord, that favor. Now I'm going to show you somebody who did that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. Let me show you something. Nehemiah needed timber, gold, things to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the temple. He was just a cupbearer. But because, you see, he has to fulfill the will of God. And I told you what prosperity is. Prosperity is having enough to be able to do the fulfill the will of God joyfully and not in prosperous way. Maya has to do that will because it was a call upon him. But he was just a cupbearer. He had the resources. Then he went to God. He said, Lord, you see that thing that make this possible? I'm coming for it. You have to be angry in prayer. So, oh Lord, I pray. Listen to what he said. Please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. How? I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this what? Man, for I was the king's what? Cabera. Say, let me prosper this day. How? Grant me mercy, which also stands for what? Favor. The Bible said the following day when you're serving the king said, why is your countenance sad? So, my people, said, what do you need? Anything you need. There was an instant till the king ordered. People are going to Bala, to my hometown and other places, so that they can turn the minds of people towards them. You don't know that the original is in the Bible. Genuine original one. See, those ones, they dupe the people, they plunder them, and the people don't get returned. But when we plunder you, God gives you too much. Because I say, he that gives a cup of water to the righteous shall in no wise go unrewarded. When you give me a car, I expect two cars. If you give me 1,000, I know it. If you give me 1,000 cities, I expect 10,000. Nobody gives me. I've told God, nobody gives me and doesn't get back. Because you said it, that when you give to the righteous, you shall receive the blessings of what? The righteous. And that is that anybody that gives them a cup of water shall go nowhere unrewarded. Reward them. Demonic plundering does not reward. It causes harm. But when it is the righteous one, that's what people keep giving you. Do you know why people are giving to Bishop Oyedepo every day? You think that if they're not giving and they're not seeing something, they'll be giving? Your father is not stingy. Your uncle is not stingy. The pastor has not done any balao. But whenever he gives to that pastor, by the time he gets home, it might be the last flower in the bowl. But the time he's done preparing for the pastor, he gets home. The anointing will speak. I pray for you. So this anointing is what established the fact that the oil upon one's head naturally attracts wealth through God by compelling people to give to you. If you said you are anointed, one sign is that it attracts money. That is our first reading. Isaiah chapter 60. The people of Israel are called the Lord's anointed. And God wants to let them know that because of who you are, certain things will happen to you, not because of what you have done, but because of who you are and what is upon you. What did he say? Isaiah chapter 60 verse 5. Listen to what he said. Then you shall see and become what? Radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be returned to you. Do you know what the abundance of the sea stands for? Do you know that it is believed that the world's treasure is swallowed by the sea? I don't know. It's believed that the world, do you know the treasures that the sea has swallowed? But the Lord said the abundance means that everything the sea that has been swallowed will be returned unto you because of the anointing. Attract. There's a magnet around you. See, anything that belongs to your family, wealth, riches, blessings that belongs to your family because of this anointing upon you, that seed that has swallowed it, I command it right now. Let it return it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now continue. He said,
the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you.
Oh, I remember a story of Apostle Suleiman, that they were building a church and a Muslim, an Alaji, was passing by. He said, go back, reverse. Saw the signboard. Suleiman. He's not a Muslim and he's a pastor. No. Why is he a Muslim being a pastor? They said, let me go and see the man. He came here and he met him. He said, why are you disgracing us, we Muslims? Why haven't you changed your name? If you're no more, change your name. Said, no, go say, I hear. He said, what are you doing? Yeah, we are building church. Okay. I'll give you money. Sign model. Do you know how much that man gave you? Gentiles. Have you seen that people who pass by, Gentiles who pass by, and because of the anointing upon your life, you are doing something, a project for God, they'll be the one to give. It's an anointing, his favor. His favor. Verse 6. Multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. I pray for you. There's an anointing for prosperity. If you are a watered garden, we have to see it. Your life, see, people must see you and favor your cause. I said, people must see you and favor your cause. You alone, anything that you are doing, you have to do it alone and struggle, bring that. What kind of thing is that? I curse it in the name of Jesus. Finally, how to enhance this anointing. Every believer has this anointing at work. Some people, it is their destiny ordination because of the assignment God has given them. So you see that there's so much coming out of them, wealth. They are able to create wealth. They are doing so much. You see prosperity all around them. But every believer has expressions of it because the anointing naturally attracts, and it is God's original plan. How do we enhance it? Through obedience and service. Job 36 verse 11. If they shall obey. Prosperity is not in sowing seeds. If that seed is sowed in disobedience, it will not do anything. Someone said to Saul, does God delight in fatty cows than obedience? Don't be deceived. The one you sow big seed, that's what most of them have been telling you. The one you bring the seed, it covers, it blinds God. God does not accept that kind of blindness. Yes. It is in service and in obedience. It enhances the prosperity anointing. As long as you are willing to serve the interest of God. Listen to me. If they obey and serve him, he's talking about God, they shall spend their days in what? Prosperity. And their years in what? In pleasures. If you have no interest to serve God and obey God, forget prosperity. It is not in the money you give. I'm showing you how to enhance it. That anointing is there. But the moment you give yourself, that is why you see people who sold themselves to God, God also sells himself back to them. Those who have been obedient to God. You know them. Look at people like Archbishop Duncan Williams. Look at Reverend Eastwood. Today, Bolikatanga was not the days of his Bolikatanga. He left his pharmaceutical certificate in obedience. What is that obedience that God is calling you to? What is that thing that God is calling you to that you are struggling to obey? That is the thing. That is the prosperity. That is the place of prosperity. When you obey, it will come. And when you decide to serve the interest of God, it will come. Because God's work attracts God's money. And God's money, you can't chop. And they will spend their years in what? Pleasures. Who told you that there's no pleasure in serving God? Who told you? And I saw Bishop Dak playing golf with Otunfu. I said, who told that there's no pleasure in serving God? He's playing golf. So football golf. With the king, the revered king of this country, one of the revered kings. He goes to places and president at his beck and call. You think that anything he wants, he can't get it? Huh? I pray for you. See, we must be hungry for prosperity and allow the prosperity anointing to work.
Some of you, God wants to start giving you ideas whilst you read the Bible, whilst you study the word. So if you meditate on this word, I'll come back to it. You shall prosper. You see, as you study God's word, it's not only in the Bible. When God begins to speak to you and begin to meditate on the word, begin to act on the word. I've been teaching you an anointing. How much have you committed yourself to the word? How much have you been doing that? And in out of that, instructions will come. Because one of the things is that the word of God will instruct you. So as you listen to the messages, God begins to instruct you. As you obey, it happens. You obey, it happens. And once you take up steps to serve the interest of God, you see prosperity. I always say this, that if you don't take care, some of you will be jealous of some of us some few years to come. Don't be jealous. Just find your path of obedience and follow. Find your service and do it. And you see that prosperity will open up to you. I pray for you today. Under this anointing, poverty is far from you. You will prosper in health. You will have peace. You see, the kind of world God will give you will not be world that brings sorrows. Starting from today, watch out. Whilst men walk to you and ask, how may I help you? How may I help you? Watch out for those kind of comments. Look, watch out when men come to you and say, no, we want you, we want you, we want you. Other people will be there and you yourself say, ah, is this person not qualified? And then you say, no, 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 you are the one we want. You are the one that we want you to do this job. I pray for you. There's an anointing coming. See, the system that has cheated you and beaten you has been so hard on you. Starting from today, God is going to give you ideas like Jacob. You will beat up the system. If it takes away, some of you work for 10 hours and you come home with just a few coins, I'm telling you, God is going to give you an idea, give you an opening, to show you something that you do, that 10 hours will bring back hundreds of hundreds. And God will begin to show you places you will go physically, locations, physically, businesses, physically, ideas. And I tell you, some of you begin to provide service. I pray for those who are already providing services over here. I pray for you, Elder Bliss. I pray for you, Franca. Anybody here who is providing services to people, let it be as it was unto Joseph. The Bible said that he bought the land of Egypt. May you have the wealth of the people out of your services. Rest your feet. Man of God, the church must be very rich. We must show the world what true prosperity is. They don't know. They don't know prosperity. Let me tell you, there are a lot of rich Christians, so they don't talk. Yes, you have not met some, eh? Hey, I've met few. They don't talk. The money they have. It's not everybody that talks, so. I pray for you. Today I'm going to pray and say that, Lord, hey, help me to be obedient. Help me to serve you. And as I be obedient and I serve you, let that idea of world creation begin to open up to me. Let that favor that opens doors, opportunities, let that favor that attracts gifts, attract wealth, attract things begin to speak for me. Lift up your voice and pray in 1 minute. Shana makabrasaya. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shende brakom velo mosaya. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.